Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you may be listening. You are listening to the Better Living Daily Radio Show. I am your host, Karen Dummis, and today is December 3rd, 2015. Just realized that I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. When I was a teenager, was when the Who concert happened, so yeah, that dates me a bit, where several people were trampled. Some died, some were injured. I had friends at the concert. I just happened to notice that today is the anniversary of that. So anyway, weird things that hit you sometimes when you look at your calendar. Oh, goodness. But it is December. And it is season to sometimes feel overwhelmed. Much as I love this season, I am not immune to the overwhelm that can happen. And with the big day being only a few weeks away for those of us who celebrate it, keeping up with everything can be very challenging. Now that I've grown to a place where I have financial comfort, the buying of the gifts and the activity are not so much the challenge. I find myself questioning what's appropriate to give to my family, to give to my community, to give to the world at large. There's so much going on, and I don't know if there's really that much more going on. I think it's more a situation where we hear about so much more. And we think of things as being a lot smaller, I think, than they really are. There have been wars going on forever. There have been inhumanity to man has been going on forever. No matter what your belief system is. And where you think we started, there's been a lot of things that go on like that. And, you know, I live in an incredibly affluent area where when we moved in 13 years ago, the median income was and still is over $100,000 a year. Not sure what that is in any other denomination for those of you who are out of the country, so I apologize for that. I do know the pound, I believe, is still stronger than the dollar, so it's over 100,000 pounds. And living in an area like that can tend to give you a skewed view of the world, especially when you're not one of those in the more affluent end of it. And not that we struggle by any means. Understand that. We are very comfortable. But, you know, when your children have friends whose parents are making 3 and 4 times what you make, it can tend to give them a skewed view of the world as well. My oldest son used to tease his friends and say he lived in the hood. And we by no means live in the hood. But you can actually kind of get that mindset when you're living in that world. And there have been times they've seen themselves as deprived when I know that to be differently. And I remind them of, you know, here's where other people that we actually know are. And we had to focus a lot, and we still do. We focus on not what we lack, but what we have. And there are some amazing privileges that go with that. You know, when you know that not everyone has indoor plumbing, not everyone has water right at their fingertips, not everyone can buy gasoline or even buy something to put gasoline in. You know, we know others that have much more challenging lives than we do, and that keeps things in perspective most of the time. Now, you know, I've mentioned this before, but I got a huge wake-up call earlier this year when I read an article about a local school in which every child that attends that school lives under the poverty line. Yeah, most kids share a toothbrush and only own one pair of underwear. Some have never had a bed. Others live without owning a pair of socks. This is 10 miles from my house, completely unaware. Which I find interesting when people say, I don't think we have that kind of poverty where I live. And I'm thinking, 10 miles from where I live, didn't know it existed. You may just not know that it exists. In that same article, I found out that the city where I live has the second highest percentage of children living in poverty next to Detroit, Michigan. Or I should say the large city where I live. I live in a small city outside of another city. So, and that article changed me because it made me understand for the first time in my life that poverty for children has nothing to do with a choice. It made me understand that sometimes school is the safest place for a child and the only place they feel love. There was a part of the article where the principal of that school was a man, and there was a little girl who came up and asked him every day for a hug, and he hesitated whether or not to give her one. And he decided to throw caution to the wind, and he hugs her every day when she comes in now. And he found out later those were the only hugs she ever got. So something to think about. Kind of a scary thing when you think about that. And I don't know if I'm on the air or not, because I just realized my stream is showing that there's nothing moving. The time isn't moving. So if I'm talking to air, I'm talking to air, and I apologize for that. If I'm not, glad you're here. The other thing I understood, though, is that when people found out I live in an incredibly generous city. When the article happened, there was hope that people would reach out to the school, make some donations. They didn't really ask for them. They just kind of told you what you could do. What they were unprepared for were the 19 beds that were donated, the mountains of underwear and socks, and the incredible amount of money that was given. They were unprepared for the meal and treat donations, the pledges from civic groups to make sure that when school started the following year, every child would have the supplies they needed. The city responded, and life is better for those children. But there's more to do, much more. Sorry, I am I'm a little concerned about the fact that things are not moving along here in the there we go. Now we're moving in the other room. Not in the other room, but my feed is saying it's that things are moving along, which is good. Makes me feel a little better, like I'm not talking to dead air. Oh, but anyway. So back to it. And since it's counting down, I'll know when I'm supposed to be quiet. Oh, goodness. But you know, there are still other children in poverty and there are homeless people. And as much as I want my children to have an amazing holiday season, it tugs at my soul. So I've decided to have a compromise, my own compromise. And I still intend to provide my family with a Christmas to remember. And I'll do that. Presents and meals and family time. And when I make a treat tray for the schools, like I do every year, then I'll make some extras to share with the homeless. Because as I travel through the city, I have a child who visits our local children's hospital regularly. I have a son that is in college not too far from home. When I go to pick them up, there are almost always homeless people. And I share our bounty with them. I know it isn't enough, but I also know it makes a difference from other people who work with the homeless more than I do. But just looking them in the eye, seeing them, blessing them, knowing someone is thinking about them, it makes a difference. And I'll still make my Christmas prep list. We'll still do all of the wonderful things we do for my husband's family and for our own family. My family's a lot smaller. So when I say that, that doesn't mean... It means my family comes to us, where we go to my husband's family. There will be... those of you who are friends with me on Facebook, there were 60 people at Thanksgiving this year. And it was a beautiful day. So for the first time ever... since I've been going to Thanksgiving, which is over 2 decades, you got to go outside and take a picture of everybody. So that was fun, sharing that. But there will be more people at Christmas Eve. Now they, instead of everybody being there at the same time, they kind of wander in, wander out. Some come early and leave. Some come late, have other commitments and come later. So it's a little more of a flow of people, but there's closer to 80 on Christmas Eve. So there's a lot. There's a lot to do. And then my family is much smaller. And my family, we do on Christmas Day. And they come to us. I make the meal. It got to be a little overwhelming for my mom to do it all. So we do it here. And, you know, we'll still be doing that. And, but, you know, it's there's a list of things to do, and I have this Christmas prep list, and I was going to tell everybody, oh, I'll post it on the Facebook page, but what I realized is when you have what they call a business page as opposed to a group, you can't put files on there, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do about that, but I've done this for every other holiday, and I realized I didn't have one for Christmas, which might be why I get overwhelmed. I don't get as overwhelmed for other holidays, but I have the list. And there are to-dos. There's, you know, deciding on a Christmas card, putting up the tree, writing a Christmas letter, making the gift list, shopping list. You know, we do St. Nick in our house, so got to prepare for that. You've got all this stuff. But in every week, I have put to make time for peace. And I think that's important. I think we all need to make time for peace. Because isn't it interesting that the season of peace is sometimes when we have the least of it? it challenges us sometimes. But, you know, I've learned over the years that while those children in poverty may not have a choice, most of us do. And everything I do is a choice. May not seem like it. We may not always like the choices. We can choose to react or respond. You know, understanding that changed my life because I no longer felt obligated to do things. I do things because I choose to. And that changes everything. It really does. Everything does become a choice, and how you do it becomes a choice. Sending Christmas cards. I love getting Christmas cards. Especially when they have pictures on them. I love the letters. I know some people hate them. I love them. I like keeping up with people who I don't see all the time, especially if the kids are growing. It's so much fun to watch their kids grow. I've been known to send my Christmas cards after Christmas because life just gets too hectic. or I have some Christmas photos I know I'm going to take and I want to share those. I've been known to send a New Year's card just because it's easier, you know, and the holidays are much happier. The other thing I've learned is that holidays are happier when you pay for them in advance rather than after the fact. I grew up where overspending was common during the holidays, and then for the next 3 to 6 months, it was just not pleasant when we were dealing with the fallout of overspending at Christmas. Learning to put aside a little money each month has been one of the greatest things I've ever learned. And I will tell you what, here's a hint, start now for next year. Sounds crazy when you're in the midst of all this stuff, but it's something to think about. And, you know, I think the first year we started saving, I may have only had a couple hundred dollars, but just having that couple hundred dollars made a big, big difference. And what we started learning was when we got our year-end bonus, when we got our tax refund, you know, we put part of that away, even if we had other bills to pay. But here was the thing. Even when we were in debt, we started putting money away for Christmas. So we didn't jack up the debt. We had a couple years where we had a more sparse Christmas. We just had to tell people that we were working on getting out of debt, and that's what we needed to do to be able to get through the holidays, was we had to spend less money. We didn't tell our kids because, you know, we didn't tell them that Santa was on a budget. But they were still happy. They never really knew. We were never ones to go completely overboard, but we were just more mindful of things. And I have to tell you, it is one of the greatest gifts we've given ourselves, to have the cash up front to spend. And it doesn't freak you out when you have to do that. So the other thing is thinking carefully about how you want the holiday season to be. Do you want it to be fun and social? Do you want it to be quiet and peaceful? You know, choose your actions accordingly. I happen to be someone who loves a fun and festive holiday season. My philosophy is the more the merrier, and there's always room for one more. I will explain that after the holidays, because there's a few things going on that I'm living that philosophy in some ways. You know, I know there's others who are looking for a more quiet, peaceful season, and they're choosing different things. And you know what? Kudos to them. Each choice is valid. And what brings each of us joy is different. And that, to me, that's kind of the point of things. Because, you know, here's the thing. When I think about what to write and talk about each week, and I usually start thinking about it on Tuesday, I rarely have a definitive subject until I sit down at the keyboard. And most of the time, I don't even feel like the author of what I write. In most cases, that's kind of the way it is, and that's probably why I have an aversion to editing and need other people to edit what I write, because I don't always feel like they're my words. I feel like they're from a different place. I need to get out of my own way and let the muse, the divine, whatever you want to call it, take over. And sometimes I get humor. Sometimes I get something much more serious. But I always end up getting some perspective that I never really thought about before. And I always get a new perspective when I sit down to write, because they really aren't my words necessarily. I feel like I have a better life because what I've done is I've kind of turned everything over to the divine. You know, I don't try to control everything anymore. kind of let the divine take the lead. And when you do that, it's amazing what happens. You quit trying to wrestle life to the ground. You know, you don't worry about things being a certain way. You focus more on how you want to feel and how you want to be in the world, and you just let the divine take care of the rest. Now, that's not to say I don't do anything. There are promptings, you know. There are little, I always say that little voice, and you can hear it if you're quiet, and you focus more on how you want to feel than what you want to do. And one of the ways that changed me is that at night, I always want to feel peaceful and loving as I fall off to sleep. So as I'm falling asleep, I bless everyone who I love, all those who need and want love, and I ask for protection for everyone. When I wake up, I'm grateful for another day, for the bed, for the fan. Oh, thank God for the fan. Someday. You know, I need the white noise, and I love the cool in my room. I just feel gratitude, and I ask to fulfill my divine purpose in the best way possible every day. It doesn't mean I'm going to have a perfect day. It rarely means I'm going to have a perfect day. My mind and my spirit on a path to make an extraordinary day, regardless of what happens. Because I'm focused on doing my best. And that will be the focus for the next few weeks as we head into Christmas and the new year. It's just doing my best every day. Everything won't get done, and it'll be okay. You know, speaking of Christmas, I'm going to let you in on this little secret. But, you know, I live in a part of the world that is politically correct, which I know offends a lot of people. It is, however, very diverse in its religion and ethnic background. I want to share something with you because I've been seeing it everywhere about people being offended because they think they can't say Merry Christmas. I've lived here for 13 years. Never once has anyone ever been offended by my wishing them a Merry Christmas or even by giving them a Christmas present, and I have done both. To non-Christians. I did have a Jewish mom turn around one time and go, "You know I'm Jewish, right?" And I said, "Yeah, but you can still have a Merry Christmas. You should have a happy day that day." And she's like, "Oh, well, I'll take that." You know, and that is as close as I've ever come to having something like that be offensive to anyone. Here's the thing. I am not offended that all of my children have learned to play the dreidel game, and they can all sing the dreidel song. Jewish game, Jewish song. I'm not offended that my children have witnessed their Muslim friends or even play a high school soccer game during Ramadan and refuse even a sip of water or morsel of food when it's 95 degrees out and they're not drinking water because it's not sundown yet. I'm not offended that my children know what Diwali is and when it's celebrated. It's a festival of lights. It's a Hindu festival of lights, just in case you don't know what it is either. I'm not even offended that some of my children's friends not only don't believe in my God and my traditions, but they're critical of them too. And you know what? It's usually not the people of other faith. It's people of no faith that are critical because they're critical of our religion. So it is what it is. From our Jewish friends, our children have learned about persecution. They've learned about practical faith and giving. Oh, my goodness, the giving. From our Muslim friends, our children have learned about commitment, perseverance, and devotion. From our Hindu friends, our children have learned dedication, hard work, always doing your best. From our atheist friends, our children have learned critical thinking, not being critical, but critical thinking, which is different. And to question why we believe as we do. which has ironically helped them with their faith, not turned them away from it. You know, hopefully the friends of my children have learned acceptance and love, because that's what I teach them through my faith. I've often said that the world could learn a few things from the children of our school district. And it is my hope and prayer that as my children go into this world as adults, that they share that understanding and that they promote peace wherever they go. I have a son who, at one of the largest universities in the country, when you go up there, there are groups of white students, there are groups of black students, there are groups of Asian students, there are groups of Indian students. And then every once in a while you see this little pocket of kids of all races and colors. And I've actually walked up to them and I said to them, did you go to where my kids went to school? And they're astounded that I know that. How did you know? How did you know? And I've said before also, the World Choir Games was hosted by my city about, I want to say, 3 or 4 years ago. And when the choir, certain choirs were invited locally to be a part of the World Choir Games. And when our choir was announced, it was said, this choir looks like no other. You know, there are not other choirs where you have that much diversity, where you have Asian kids and Indian kids and white kids and black kids and Jewish kids and Muslim kids and just everything in one choir. Or one band, or one soccer team. Sitting in our lunchroom at the high school, or even at the elementary level, I can tell you hate is learned. I can tell you division is learned. It is all learned. But if we can learn it, we can fix it. We can change it, because I know kids who are. I'm down to 90 seconds, so here we are already. This is somewhere I didn't intend to go, but you know what? We went there anyway. I hope you got a nugget of perspective, maybe a nugget of hope, and I believe in perspective. I believe in love. I believe that when we stop being angry with each other and we stop blaming each other, we'll finally be able to walk in peace. I love you all more than you know. I wish you the best holiday season you've ever had. I will hopefully see you next Thursday and then probably take a few weeks off until we figure that out. Have a great day. Have a great week. Thanks for being you. And have a great holiday season. Love you all. Bye-bye.